In the scripture reading that was given, in verse 39, there's a statement there that God makes concerning man. And it said that God remembered that we were but flesh, a wind that passeth and does not return. No matter how man did, or no matter what they had went through and done, again, God remembered that He created us and how we were created. And when we meditate upon this, it puts us in a proper perspective that we are the flesh. We're a wind that passes and does not return. In the creation, we see one of the attributes of God in that all things were good that He created. It's recorded in the Scripture that God saw that it was good. When you look at Genesis, the first chapter, and I'm using the New American Standard Bible in reading. In Genesis, first chapter, in verse 10, God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters He called seas, and God saw it was good. When you look down at verse 12, and the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind, and God saw that it was good. The earth, the sea, the land, vegetation, herbs, and seeds, they were all good. Because one of the attributes of God is goodness. He is good. And those things were good and they were well-pleasing. They were fruitful. They were proper for the purpose which God had created it for. We find in Genesis 1, verse 31, God saw that all that He made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. That He had made, He declares it, and behold, it was very good. But over a period of time, a change took place. We know that due to the transgressions of man and woman, consequences were incurred from the hand of God. One of these consequences is God cursing the ground because of Adam's actions. In Genesis, the third chapter, in verse 17, we see here, and then to Adam, God said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it in all the days of your life. Something that was good, that God had created that was good, now it was inflicted with a curse from God, so as not to be well-pleasing, not to be fruitful, not to be proper for the intended purpose that God had created it for. It had lost its original goodness. There would now be obstacles and difficulties in the production of food from the soil for man. In Genesis, the fourth chapter, we find the record of Cain and Abel. And in verse 3, so it came about in the course of time, in chapter 4, that Cain brought an offering of the Lord to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, and Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel in his offering. When it says we are told at the end of days, the literal there in Hebrew, or in the process of time, this was showing that there was a time and a place that had apparently been appointed for Cain and Abel to come before God with offerings. Because it says there, so it came about in the course of time, or at the appointed time. In verse 3 and 4, we find what each one brought for their offering. We're told that Cain was a tiller of the ground, and Abel was a keeper of the flocks. We find that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought the firstlings of his flocks and their fat portions. When you look in the Scriptures concerning offerings and sacrifices, the sacrifices were to be of a blood and fat composition, which would constitute animals. In Leviticus, the 17th chapter, there was a purpose that God had for this. In the 17th chapter of Leviticus, in verse 11, the Scripture records there, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of life that makes atonement. It explains here that the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's what makes this body animate. That's what makes the body work and flow. is the life-giving blood. God told Noah in Genesis, the 9th chapter, in verse 4, after the flood, that God had expanded upon what man could consume and eat then. And in verse 4, chapter 9, only you shall not eat, he said, the flesh with its life, that is, its blood. They could eat the meat, but he said, only you shall not eat the flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Animals now could be for food, but again, not allowed to eat the flesh with its life, that is, its blood. The reason again for this was found as we read in Leviticus, the 17th chapter, and verse 11. God said that He has given the blood to mankind to make atonement for their souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, the Hebrew writer explains to us in the 9th chapter and verse 22, according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The fat in the blood was not to be eaten, and it held special significance to God. When you look at Leviticus, the 3rd chapter, God had outlined this, and it was due to His instructions and His special purpose. In the 3rd chapter of Leviticus, in verse 17, they are told, it is a perpetual statute throughout your generation in all your dwellings. You shall not eat any fat or any blood. There was a special significance from God. Within these animals, we find in Genesis 7, verses 2 and 3, we find that God made a distinction between clean and unclean animals. When you see that there, the listing is not defined in the 7th chapter of Genesis. In speaking to Noah before the flood, he just says, you shall take with you of every clean animal by sevens, a male and his female, and of the animals that are not clean, two, a male and his female. Also of the birds of the sky by sevens, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of all the earth. The clean and unclean is mentioned here to Noah, but again, the listing which defined what was clean and unclean is not revealed and recorded in Scripture until Leviticus, the 11th chapter. But even though Scripture doesn't reveal God giving these details to Noah, by virtue of God telling Noah to take certain amounts of the clean and unclean animals, Noah had knowledge to choose correctly. He had to have that knowledge. And by virtue of that, God would have to express that to him. Now, going to Cain and Abel's offerings, we see the significance of the blood. We see the significance of life being in the blood. Stop to consider Cain's offerings. In Genesis, it's mentioned there in the 4th chapter. Consider what he brought before the Lord. He brought of the fruit of the ground. From the fruit of the ground, there's nothing from the fruit of the ground. There is nothing in existence of anything that has blood in it, which had life in it to make atonement. Nothing whatsoever. It was of the fruit of the ground. It was wrong, we find, in Malachi, the 1st chapter, verses 6 through 9. It is wrong to offer polluted or defiled sacrifices to bring before God. The animal sacrifices they brought, they were blemished, they were bad, and it was wrong. The question to look at and to think about is how much more wrong would it be to offer a sacrifice from something which God has cursed? We find that the ground and the earth was good, but then God cursed it as a consequence because of what man did. And here Cain took something from the fruit of the ground which was cursed and presented it before the Lord. The ground was not good any longer due to the consequences of sin, and he took that fruit of something which was cursed by God and offered it to him. How do you think the Lord would have felt about that? That here was something that God Himself directly cursed, and then here is the fruit of it being given to Him as a sacrifice, as worship. Abel brought a blood offering. He knew the importance of blood, and he also knew probably the difference between clean and unclean animals. There are prerequisites to sacrifices. Samuel's words to Saul in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, in verse 22, lists one of the prerequisites before a sacrifice. And a prerequisite is just something that comes before, something that needs to be there before. And in verse 22, Samuel says, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." This was a prerequisite. Obedience and hearing, heeding. That is necessary before bringing the sacrifice. It always has been. And it still is true today. As talked about in class and so forth, we as a sacrifice have to do it through obedience to the Word to be done correctly. We have to heed what He has said. And so therefore, that prerequisite is to obey and to heed. Has to be there before any sacrifice is made. Another prerequisite is mercy and compassion before any sacrifice or to any sacrifice being offered. Jesus told in the Matthew, the 9th chapter, to the Pharisees, and you have to bear in mind and remember that the Pharisees believed that they were the children of God. For so long God had given them the law and been with them, and they were the select ones and the chosen ones, and they had far more above the Gentiles than what the Gentiles had. But Jesus told them to go and to learn what the Scripture meant. In verse 13 of chapter 9, He said, "Go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. I desire compassion, mercy, and not sacrifice." Jesus had to bring this to their remembrance again, trying to stir them in their thinking in the 12th chapter of Matthew, in verse 7. He said, "But if you had known what this means, I desire compassion or mercy, and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent." Mercy and compassion, we can clearly see in the 78th Psalm of God. That was there. God required obedience, but God also had mercy and compassion. We also see throughout the Scriptures the compassion that Jesus had. There was times with the woman taken in adultery, He showed compassion. With the woman that had many husbands, He showed compassion. But yet, as Mark brought out in class this morning, what compassion was shown by the Pharisee, which was one that should have had shown compassion and mercy. He had forgotten what God had done for him. And so therefore, he was a strict adherence to the law, and he told that to everyone else and wanted to make sure everyone else followed the law to the letter, but he had lost his mercy and his compassion. We can clearly see God's mercy and compassion. God foresaw that mankind could sin, so He established a plan before the foundation of the world to make atonement for man. And it was going to involve blood. God would send His Son as a Messiah, which was prophesied throughout the Old Testament. Over a period of time, when the time came forth that God had set, He sent His Son to be that life-giving sacrifice. And there was life in that blood. Spiritual life for us in that blood. Jesus died so that we might spiritually live. God proved that Jesus was His Son by resurrecting Him from the grave. This is the good news, the gospel that we are called upon to believe. that Jesus was the Messiah who died, was buried, and on the third day rose again. To turn to God in obedience and sacrifice over in our life to do His will. That's repentance. To die to sin and be raised a new creature by being baptized and coming into contact with the blood of Jesus to receive the forgiveness of our past sins. That's what we are called upon to do. To believe that Jesus was the Christ, that He came. There's not going to be another one. We do not need to look for another one. He is it. Hebrews tells us that's the sacrifice there that was given. If you wait for any other, it's not going to be there. If you reject that one, you're going to be hard-pressed to obey the gospel because you have rejected what has already God put into place. He was a living sacrifice who died, shed His blood, and in that blood we could have life. We have an opportunity each time we come together to accept that invitation call, to obey the gospel call. To obey, to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that He did come and He died for our sins and God accomplished His plan. And through the death, burial, and resurrection, we go through a semblance of that also in the form of baptism, that we die to our old self, we're raised to be a new creature, and in that we walk in newness of life, and that is where we come into the blood of Jesus. That gives us the forgiveness of our sins. There's the sacrifice that is there for us. And we reach that in the waters of baptism. Think upon these things and meditate upon these things. And if you haven't believed that Jesus was the Christ, you need to think about that seriously. Give that a lot of contemplate upon that and meditate upon that. Because there is not going to be any other sacrifice coming along for us. He was it. If we can assist, you have an opportunity now to obey the gospel while we stand and while we sing.